Folks, it's time to get the liquid paper off your screens. You don't want to embarrass yourself like I normally do in front of this guy. It's time to talk tech with our resident net nerd. It's Jace Squires. Good morning, Jace.
Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Mate, I am doing fine. And you are well, I trust?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, uni has now settled down and finished for the year, and I'm just heading into some holidays at the end of the year in a few weeks' time. So it's, time for a bit of a rest.
You might get to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning for a change.
That would be nice, yes. If I got to bed before midnight, it would be fantastic. That's just sadly the way it goes when you're working full-time and you're studying. There's never much time to rest and have downtime.
Oh, you're an inspiration, Jace. Keep it up, mate. Good on you. Now, another reason you can't rest at the moment is because you're in birthday party mode, celebrating along with Windows.
I know. How exciting is this? Windows 1 was released to the market officially 35 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long since we've had Windows on the market?
Staggering.
35 years. It's crazy. So we've gone from Windows 1, all the different iterations, through to Windows 10. And would you believe, I had to actually look this up, back in 1985, Windows 1 required two floppy disks to run, 256 kilobytes of memory, and had a standard graphics card.
Isn't
it? It's come a long way since then.
Oh, it was so quaint, wasn't it? I've actually kept a floppy disk at home. I had one of my kids ask me what it was the other day.
Floppy disk. Do you know the 5 1/4s are still floating around?
Really?
They're still in circulation. Yeah, I've seen a few of them around. There's not many drivers that can read them anymore, but yeah, they're still floating around from time to time.
It's funny, when you have a bit of a clean out and you come across this stuff and you think, don't need any of that, hang on to one of them, because I bet you, given time, you'll have some great memories tied up in items like that.
Absolutely. There's still some zip disks and zip drives floating around somewhere. They used to hold about 100 meg, and now, of course, we carry around hard drives in our pocket on USB sticks. So how far the industry has come.
It is amazing. Well, happy birthday, Windows. Now let's move on to Google Pay. A relaunch is happening, Jace. Tell us why.
Absolutely. Well, they've added some new features. So now not only are they aiming to be a swipe and a user currency service, they're also trying to sort of become a semi-bank within the app. So if you're using Google Pay at the moment on your Android device, you'll soon be able to start searching for transactions and doing all sorts of other refinancing options within the Google Pay. Now, at the moment, it's only been launched within the United States just recently, but look, fingers crossed that it expands exponentially and heads across the ocean and comes this away, because I reckon this would be just the start of that next cryptocurrency online transition. And I guess we're just getting that little bit closer to becoming a cashless society.
And is this Google's play at becoming more like a bank, a financial services company?
I think so, yes. Now that we've got all these state-of-the-art smartphones and we've got, you know, communication technology like NFC, near-field communication, where you can just tap and go with your card or even your smartphone, I think now digital wallets are really going to take off, and all of the big giants like your Apple and your Google and these types of players are going to get further into the cryptocurrency and online currency field, and it just strengthens the whole, okay, swipe with a card and make your transaction and get it all taken care of. Mm. You don't have to bumble around by going to an ATM and getting cash and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I realistically think cashless society is on the way.
Okay, in the US now, on the way down under at some stage soon. Now, Jason, I know you laugh at me. I'm a bit of a dinosaur with my iPhone 7, but I'm just hanging in there because we've got some bad news for users of iPhone 6 and older.
Absolutely, yes. The press is hot out of Cupertino, California. Apple have just announced very, very recently that iPhone 6 and older, as of next year, iOS 15 will not be supported on those devices. So if you're using an iPhone 6 or older, or a particular generation of the iPad that uses iPad OS, or any other Mac device that's older, you won't be able to soon start using updated operating systems. So I know that 12 months is a long time away, but they're already working on iOS 15 now, would you believe? And it's probably time to soon start thinking about upgrading if you are using that older device.
What are the dangers, though, Jay? Say I've got an iPhone 6 and the support does run out. What's going to happen?
Well, at that point, the software that's locked into that phone becomes locked in. So if there is a security threat for the operating system that you are using, it's not going to be commercially supported by Apple or any of the manufacturers that use apps that you're using on your phone. So at that point, it becomes an issue that if something happens and you're running an older device with older software, you can't get commercial support for it, and then you're potentially exposed.
Yeah, okay.
But,
so
a bit like leaving the house of a day and leaving the door open. You know, whatever happens during the day before you get home is completely at the mercy of the others.
Well, I've been waiting for another one of your classic analogies, and there we go. We are talking tech with Jace on Ballarat today this morning. Jace, Google Photos just keeps getting cleverer.
This is getting really, really intelligent. Now, if you use Google Photos, the app, you can, of course, do searching and all sorts of things once you're taking your snaps and label them. Well, the folk at Mountain View in California, just down the road, actually, from Apple, have now come up with an algorithm that allows you to label your photos so you can then start working out where you've been on holidays, and then it can share that with everyone else that uses the Google Photos app. So let's say you've been to Disneyland, for example, and you label a whole heap of your photos Disneyland. The algorithm will then use machine learning to identify, okay, this is a holiday, this is the date, this is the time, and then it can start sharing that with others as popular tourist spots to go on holidays.
So hang on, it's going to share it for you. You're not actively sharing this image.
Well, you are training artificial intelligence when you're labeling it. So, and then it's uploading that to Google's database for everyone else's beneficiary use. So you're kind of training artificial intelligence yourself doing this. This is machine learning at its best.
I so miss the days when we took our film to the chemist. Things were so much simpler.
They seem like so far ago now, don't they?
Well, they were eons ago. Hey, Jace, still on Google. Now, tell us about this thing called Doodles and a change happening.
Now, you might not be familiar with this term. Now, I mean this in the most unnasty way, but a doodle in terms of tech is that little image that you see that animates above google.com.au when you go to the search.
Oh, that's called a doodle.
That is called a doodle. That image is called a doodle. Now, what Google have done is they've developed an AI tool that takes your creatures or whatever you've built in MS Paint and brings them to life in a 3D artificial intelligence environment. So let's say you're into your creatures and dinosaurs. You could make one of those in Paint, bring it to life using this AI, and then, dare I say it, your doodle has come to life. And I mean that in the most unpleasant, non-nasty, non-bad nature.
There's quite a few lines here. I tell you what, I'm glad PT's not in the studio at the moment. JC would have a field day with that sort of comment. All right, now we know what doodles are when it comes to Google, folks, all right? There is a difference. Now, Jace, bring us home with one of your famous did you knows. What do you got?
This is a ripper. Windows XP, you might be familiar with. It's one of their older operating systems. It was released way back in 2001, at the turn of the century. Well, commercial support, I should say, for it was withdrawn back in 2014. But would you believe up to 30% of the devices on the market right now are still using Windows XP for their everyday computer use? So if you are one of those users, I would strongly recommend you update like last year and start using Windows 10.
Is there any cost to upgrade to Windows 10? Do you have to pay for it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a license that you have to pay.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll need the hardware to run it. So it might set you back a few $100s, but you'll get state-of-the-art support and you'll have all the security and all of the best of everything in terms of software and hardware. Whereas if you're still using XP right now, it is so outdated, it nearly outdates the dinosaurs in the Cretaceous period.
Come on, are you getting a commission from Windows this morning?
No cash for comment.
Not this week anyway. Jace, as always, great talking tech with you.
More info, more Ballarat. It's Ballarat Today on 3BA 102.3.